Good afternoon, everybody. It's Reggie here again, and welcome to part three of the B2B marketing series that we've been running. So part one was an introduction. I gave it an overview in terms of some of the changes that have been happening this year in 2022. And part two looked at a whole variety of different elements that are impacting B2B marketing as we speak now. So really this part three is looking at what's going to be happening in 2023 and some of the predictions that have been outlined by a variety of different sources. Everyone from Jim Habig, VP of LinkedIn, through to Anne Ginn at the Content Marketing Institute and various others. And you know, as well as experiences that I've had myself dealing with clients, what they're looking for, some of the challenges they're facing, and how they're going to be doing things differently in 2023, and also some input from my colleague Rachel Meppam, who is a head strategist here at Digital Clarity, and her involvement with measurement, analytics, what people are looking for, etc. So I'm going to break this down into three core areas. One is measurement, two is how CMOs should be thinking, and three is the continuing blurring of lines between B2B and B2C. So let's talk about measurement, and let's face facts. Attribution and analytics is fundamentally skewed. It is, I wouldn't say it's not fit for purpose. There is lots and lots of gold in there if you know what you're looking for. There is some really good stuff in terms of content measurement and various other things. But when you're looking at purchases, sales, leads, various other things like that, there seems to be a general consensus that last click analysis or attribution, if you like, is aligned to whatever the last click may have been. So, for example, we look at analytics data and you can see that there's a Google Ads click and then a purchase. The general feeling is that that is a great conversion, and Google have been attributed to that click and therefore to that sale. The reality is that journey may have started somewhere else, somewhere way in the distance, and that that particular buyer has been going backwards and forwards. It could have been from a social media post that they bookmarked on LinkedIn. It could be something they saw on Instagram or on Reddit. It could be a podcast. Could be a community they're part of, something on Slack or Discord or a private group. It could have been a referral from 6 months ago, and it's just taking that prospective customer time to actually look at and evaluate whether you may be the right fit for them, not the other way around. And also, there's a big rise in sort of, you know, since we've got back post-COVID, a lot of third-party events. So, you know, I saw somebody speak. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was actually not a conference, but at a exhibition, if you like, to do with customer experience, CX, over there in Excel in Docklands. And throughout this exhibition, there were mini theatres dotted around with lots of very interesting and wonderful people doing talks. And I could see people scribbling things down in notebooks, scribbling things down or typing things into the phone, into their laptops, into their iPads. And all of that will be fed back somewhere. All of that will have a knock-on effect. That's the beginning of a journey. And the measurement, none of that element there will be measured. The only thing people are measuring at exhibitions and shows are the barcodes on your badges. That's about it. Nothing else is actually measured. So measurement is going to change There's been a lot of talk, especially by people like Refine Labs, about dark social, which I think where they coined the phrase. So that's going to be a big, big change. So measurement is something that we're going to be talking about a lot. And each one of these topics I'm going to be touching on here are going to be separate areas for us to dive into. And if you're interested in learning more about these things, do get in touch. Second point of these 3 points I'm making today is the need for the CMO to change and widen their repartee and widen their look at what's required in terms of getting a sale over the line. So I know Jim Habig again from LinkedIn, VP of marketing over there. It talks about how CMOs need to think more like CFOs. And that's actually very, very relevant. If you look at some of the reports coming out by Forrester, they're talking about the amount of people who are involved in the sort of purchase journey. So back in 2017, there were 44% of people involved in an organization within a purchase. Now that's gone up to 60% last year. That is an enormous jump. So stakeholders are getting involved. Stakeholders are getting involved in proof of concept. They're getting involved in, you know, if you're selling software or a SaaS solution, there is sometimes the need for a proof of concept for a period of time, and lots of people are actually using it. So it's not just one person making that decision. Normally, the person who signs things off isn't the one who is actually going to be making that decision. Sometimes it's done by a group. And also, the touch points have increased from 17 to 27 interactions. Again, information from Forrester. 27 different interactions before shortlisting a company, before they purchase something. That is a huge jump from 17 back in the day. So that's in 5 years, the number of interactions have increased rapidly. And that is because lots of decisions are actually being made in the final stages by people like CFOs. People on the board who are looking at the financial impact, especially in these times of rising inflation or stabilizing inflation as we speak here today on the 15th of December. But also because it has an impact on everybody within the organization. And if you look at the costs now attached to everything, everything is being scrutinized. So therefore, from a marketer's perspective, you need to be clear in terms of the content that's being produced, the messaging that's being produced, etc., that the financial element, not all of it, but certain things down the funnel are being looked at and being addressed. Otherwise, you ain't going to hear anything. So that's another one. The final part of this is the B2B B2C blurring of lines. This is something I've been bleating on about for, well over 2 years. We all buy in certain ways. Sales are human and emotional interactions justified by logic and intellect afterwards, but normally they are done by the same way we all buy things ourselves. If you're looking to hypothetically buy a car, for yourself or for someone else, you will do so much research in there that you'll probably know more about that car than the salesman. So all you're actually doing at the end when you walk into a showroom, if you still walk into a showroom these days, is literally negotiating the price. So that is another area that's absolutely changed. So we're no different to B2B. McKinsey are actually saying this is fascinating. 70% of B2B decision makers are open to making a fully self-serve or remote purchase over $50,000. Now, you may say, okay, $50,000, our solution is a lot more. What would you say if I said that in that same survey, McKinsey said that 27% have spent purchasing directly of solutions over $500,000, $500,000. Now, that's only going to set to grow. That's going to grow. And what that's actually saying is that you need to allow people to buy the way they want to buy, not the way you want to sell. That's the key message here. If you get an inquiry from someone, two things to understand. Number one, they might be part of the 95-5, which has been talked about by people like the B2B Institute and LinkedIn, where 95% of people interacting with your content or interacting with your company, excuse me, are not in a position to buy. They're merely evaluating. Only 5% are in buyer mode. Okay, so don't try and flog them to someone or say, go, oh, this is a hot lead, off to sales. Sales starts bombarding them with loads of emails, constantly saying, hey, saw you at such and such. Can I set up a demo? Can I do this? Here's my Calendly, you know, book a meeting with me. Why would they? And suddenly they get ghosted and wonder what happened. You've got to get into the buyer mode and understand why and how people buy. So that's that part. The other side is create things that allow people to self-serve. They may want to buy. I mean, that McKinsey data is so powerful, and it's only going to grow. 27% of B2B buyers have purchased $500,000 worth of products, $500,000 worth of products, without even contacting that company. That company that bought or shortlisted you or called you in for a demo wasn't even on your prospect list. This is what's going on now. People are making passive buying decisions by evaluating content, evaluating services, evaluating everything from the good old white paper through to case studies, videos, and looking at the value, the old V word, that you're going to add to their business. So there we have it in a nutshell. Each one of those will be looked into a lot deeper in 2023, B2B measurement, CMOs changing their tack, thinking in different ways, for example, CFOs, and the blurring, the continual blurring of lines between B2B and B2C. If any of that, as I said earlier, is of interest and you want to drill deeper into that and understand more of where we are coming from and how we help businesses, how we help you get in front of those buyers and get those buyers to come to you with our years of experience, please do get in touch. Or if there's any topics you'd like us to talk about or insight you'd like, please, again, do get in touch. Okay, I think that's going to be the last one from me this year. Or if you want to endure some more pain, there might be just one next week on a slightly different, possibly more festive topic. But that's 3 of 10 predictions that we are making for 2023 into the B2B space. A B2B space, I hasten to add, which Anne Ginn of Content Marketing Institute is saying is going through a form of revolution. Right now. So the way things were and the way things and how they're going to be is totally changing. So anyway, that's me. Have a lovely Christmas if you don't hear my dulcet tones again, and have a safe, enjoyable, wonderful 2022, what's left of it. And here's to a fantastic 2023. Ciao.